Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What up, Fightful fam, and welcome to 1-2 Punch. Player 1, Shaquille Majuri. Player 2, 8-Bit, James Lynch. Back home on Fightful, and I don't think I messed up the recording this time. How's it going, James?
It's going well. Now that you didn't mess up the recording, I think everything's great. Thanks for having me back on, man.
Yeah, it's a treat, and I know the viewers are going to be excited because you were sort of one of the OGs when it comes to Fightful, especially on the MMA end. Thank you for taking the time out of doing 1,000 other podcasts of your own. I'm not sure how you even managed to squeeze me in.
Google Calendar. It's very helpful. I use that a lot, and that's how I was able to do this. So I appreciate you having me on, man.
For sure, man. And we'll get to all the great work you're doing. But first, just a reminder, folks, this is 1-2 Punch. If it's your first time listening, it's news talk, but on a win-lose-draw system. What that means is we're going to highlight some of the week's biggest winners and losers before drawing up a little preview for nothing, because there's no fights this Saturday, but maybe we'll touch on all the excitement that is to come with Fight Island. Without further ado, let me hit this animated intro. Fancy. There we go. Just a heads up, guys. Please subscribe, tap the notification bell, leave a like on this video. Can't tell you how much all that does to help us do what we do. And thank you for helping us hit our New Year's goal of 3,000 subscribers. Very excited about that. Hit us up in the chat. We'll get to all your questions, comments, concerns. Leave a super chat donation if you're feeling extra generous. Leave a dollar, leave a thousand. I've got my preference, but it's all good. That's enough of me shilling out, James. Let's start with this. Winners and losers. I unfortunately think I got more losers this week than winners, so you might have to help me fill the void a bit, but I want to start on the bright side. I'm going to say this is a weird win for Max Holloway. He's been sort of in this tough title picture with Alex Volkanovski. Lost the first fight, lost the second fight. Both were close in a lot of fans' eyes, but especially that second fight. And, you know, this may seem like a bit of a downgrade going from title fights and pay-per-views to headlining a fight night, but I think this is probably the fight he needs to recalibrate. Calvin Kattar is obviously super game as an opponent, but it seems like Max needed a little bit of fresh scenery. What do you make of him sort of leaving the title picture for a short moment?
I think it's great, and I think this is a good fight. It's keeping both guys active. You know, there's been a couple, you know, fighters in that division that, you know, just had fights fall out or things moved around, you know, Zabit and Yair Rodriguez specifically. And you know, I think it's just a good fight for Calvin as well, because, you know, he made a really good, you know, mark in 2020. With his wins, and I think it's well deserved. And I think for Max, you know, it's good for him to not fight someone named Alex Volkanovski. I think it's good to switch things up a little bit. And, you know, what a way to kick off 2021 for the UFC with this fight, because it's great. It's going to be on ABC, and it's a close fight. You know, I do the fighter predictions. I mean, a lot of fighters are sort of torn on this fight with the improvements that Calvin has made, and then obviously a lot of people feeling like Max Holloway did not lose that last fight to Alex Volkanovski. So I think this is just great matchmaking here, and it also gives a bit of breathing room between what I think is going to end up being Alexander Volkanovski and Brian Ortega next. So there's a lot of interesting things that could happen from this fight going forward in the featherweight division.
Yeah, and let me quickly ask you before I make my point, are you in the Max Holloway was robbed the second time out camp?
I wasn't. I actually scored the fight for Volkanovski, and I got a lot of hate for it. But here's my justification, Shaq. A lot of people, when they say the R word, the robbery word, I think you need to go look at the entire fight. And if you can tell me that Max Holloway won every single round, then I would agree with you. But I think most people would agree, at least Volkanovski won a couple of those rounds. I think it was the third round. I have to go back. I mean, it's a couple months ago when that fight happened. But I remember thinking that was the one where people were kind of, you know, going back and forth because Holloway, I believe, dropped Volkanovski, or at least, you know, knocked him down. And so people felt like that should have counted more than what Volkanovski did in terms of the overall striking. I think Volkanovski had landed more, but Holloway had the two, you know, drop downs. So it's obviously a very close fight. But to me, a robbery is where you don't win a single round. Like Diego Sanchez, Ross Pearson, that was a robbery.
That comes to mind.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know how you could score a single round for Diego Sanchez in that fight. Whereas with this fight, I think even the biggest Max Holloway fan has to admit that Volkanovski at least won one of those rounds. So not a robbery, but nonetheless, Holloway, I think, still has shown that he is at the top of this division. And I think with Calvin, he's had opportunities to get in that spot. You know, he had the setback against Moicano, which I think a lot of people forget about. And then he lost his beat in a fight where he was really turning things around later in the fight. And you do wish that would have been five rounds, but this will be a good test for him. What I'm really interested in is the durability of both fighters. You know, Cater never been finished. Holloway, you know, tough to finish as well, too. So, you know, if it does go five rounds, it'll get very interesting in those later rounds for both fights to see who can, both fighters to see who can dig deep and get the win.
Yes. And I want to go to the chat very quickly. Joseph Boza chimes in with another win, which is that Max versus Cater is officially on UFC on ABC1, Historic Card Network Television. This kind of came out of the blue. Like, when I heard the news, I was like, what's happening? It's not really something that was even on my radar. Is this as big of a deal for the UFC as some people are making it to have them on ABC television?
Absolutely. This is a huge deal. And it's not entirely surprising when you think of the fact that Disney owns ESPN, and Disney obviously works with or owns ABC as well, or has a share in it. So, I mean, this was bound to happen in terms of sharing the wealth a little bit. Same thing with Fox, right? They moved the UFC on a number of different Fox channels. So, but this is a much bigger deal than being on Fox, in my opinion, because Fox, while it is network television, it was always kind of, and still is kind of, considered sort of the fringe, sort of a little bit more edgy network television. But ABC is about as wholesome as it gets. So I'm really interested to see who's going to actually tune into this in terms of, you know, the audience, because, you know, typically an ABC audience is not an MMA fan audience, right? I know they have had boxing on in the past, but I think it'll be very interesting to see just the demographics of who's going to be tuning into this fight, especially with it being on network television, because it's not like you need to download an app or do anything like that. You can be flipping the channels and you'll be seeing UFC on your television. So I think that's just a great win for the fighters. It's good to see MMA get to a wider audience, but I'm going to predict this now, Shaq. I'll say this right now. There will be an article coming out of the fight where someone's going to say that MMA is too barbaric. I'm calling it right now because it's going to hit an audience that normally doesn't see MMA. And I know there's going to be someone just salivating at the mouth to write something critical of MMA.
Nothing will have the adrenaline of grandma, grandpa, and the kids pumping like Holloway and Cater bludgeoning each other for five hard rounds. Black Sheep chimes in, dude, that Irwin news is crazy. Yes, we will obviously get to Irwin Rivera on the down section, unfortunately. Last thing on Holloway. I can't help but think, if Brian Ortega manages to beat Alex Volkanovski, that's sort of a best-case scenario for Max, because it's really hard right now to justify, no matter how close the fights were, no matter how you scored them, it's really hard to justify three fights between Holloway and Volkanovski in the span of like 365 days when Volkanovski is up 2-0. But if Ortega wins, I think you probably see Holloway Ortega before you see Ortega Volkanovski too.
I completely agree, because of the way Max Holloway beat Ortega. I think people forget that that was a dominant win. I mean, Ortega was not in that fight at all. It was in Toronto. It was at that card. It was a total beatdown, and that's why it was so impressive to see Ortega, after that huge layoff, come back and beat the Korean Zombie the way he did, especially with his improved striking. So you're absolutely right, Shaq. Holloway's in kind of this weird spot right now, because if you remember, obviously last year he went up to lightweight and did not go well for him. He lost to Dustin Poirier. So if he loses this fight, I do think he probably does go to lightweight, because, I mean, the chances of him fighting for a title or, you know, much further back. Not to say that lightweight's any easier, but at least it would be a change of scenery. You wouldn't have to cut that extra weight. I do think we might see Max Holloway at lightweight if he does not come out victorious against Calvin Kattar next Saturday.
You're absolutely right. My three favorite words to hear. Thank you, James. Someone's asking in the chat, is it pronounced Kattar or Qatar? Like the
it's region. Kattar. It's Kattar. Kattar. Yeah.
It is Kattar. Okay. On that note, are there any other winners you want to give some attention to before we move on to our many, many, many losers of the week?
You know what? I'll just say it. I know not going to be a popular opinion, but I think Paige VanZant getting her fight booked for bare knuckle. For sure. You know, she made it. You know, now that I've had, kind of had the chance to digest the news, and I remember when it first happened, I'm like, bare knuckle. I mean, Paige is not really known as a boxer. Like, why are you going over there? But the more I think about it, look, she's getting paid well. They're going to give her opponents. I think you know, Britton Hart's no you know, pushover by any means, but in terms of overall experience, you know, Paige VanZant's, you know, been doing martial arts a lot longer, as far as I know, and I think it's a good move for her, and it's interesting because maybe this will start a trend where we'll see more fighters, you know, try other avenues, other disciplines, whether it's bare knuckle or kickboxing or whatever, to see a fighter use their brand and utilize it very well. And the other winner I'll highlight this week as well, kind of on that same note, is Anthony Pettis. I mean, mm-hmm. great move for him going to PFL. He's going where the money is. He's going, you know, where he can have more success. I don't think anyone, even the biggest Anthony Pettis fan, felt like Anthony Pettis was going to get back to the championship ranks in the UFC. So for him to go to PFL, have a chance at $1 million. And guess what? Even if that doesn't work out, he's working with a promotion that's going to help his new management company as well. So I think Pettis is also a big winner here as well.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're aware of this because you're hardwired into the brain of MMA. But for those who aren't, a quick shout out to UFC Unfiltered, whoever was dealing with, like,
oh, I saw that,
the video or the audio of the podcast.
Kudos to Alex Lee for spotting that, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, shout out to Alexander K. Lee over at MMA Fighting, and probably the worst Among Us player I've ever come across. He, on the UFC Unfiltered podcast, they left notes and timestamps saying, remove mention of Anthony Pettis. And there was like 8 of them over the course of the podcast. So some tech difficulties lately with the UFC. The UFC's Twitter bot was sending out DMs claiming that Dustin Poirier versus Conor McGregor was going to be for a world lightweight title. So
I would not be surprised if it does end up being for a title. You know, I mean, it's 5 rounds. Think about it. It's 5 rounds already. So they don't have to change anything. And I think it's an easier sell for everyone if you call it a title fight than if you don't. I've always said this all along that, you know, the second Khabib retired, I know he's not officially retired, but they want Conor to be champ again. There's no doubt about that. I think the closer they can get Conor to the belt, the better it is for business. So, you know, I do, obviously someone pulled the trigger a little bit too soon, but I think it might end up being for a title. I mean, don't be surprised if they switch things around getting closer to fight week, that will be for a vacant title or interim title or title period. Doesn't matter.
I think it is best for the lightweight division if Khabib stays retired, and that is both for me. And I don't necessarily mean for profits or for Dana White's best interest or for the fans' best interest, but Khabib being a dominant fighter, remarkably amongst one of the toughest divisions in the UFC, it opens up a whole lot of really interesting possibilities between Conor, Dustin, Justin Gaethje, Dan Hooker, Michael Chandler, Charles Oliveira. It's a very exciting time for lightweight. And I just like to see the rare fighter be able to sort of stick to their principles and not sort of be swayed by the money of the UFC from time to time. It's a nice thing to see. Before we move on, Black Sheep is asking, do you think it's better to train at a boxing gym or MMA gym for BKFC? As someone who's obviously not a fighter or a coach, I would assume if you're going to be fighting in the one discipline of boxing, you're better off going to a boxing gym. What's your take on it?
Same thing. It's more specialized. You're going to focus specifically because MMA is different. I mean, it's I interviewed Amanda Hibas yesterday, and she was telling me that, you know, while she's because her and Paige train together now, which is crazy because they fought last year. Now they're teammates. But, you know, Hibas was talking about how she really wants to showcase her striking this fight. One of the things I asked her was, you know, how has it been working on your striking with Paige? And she, you know, pointed out very, making a point to mention that, you know, what she's training in terms of striking, what Paige are, is a little bit different. So the MMA striking is a little bit different than what you would have in, you know, bare knuckle or boxing. So it is, there's slight variations, but yeah, I think boxing gym is your best bet.
Yeah. It's sort of the trade-off of training mixed martial arts is you sort of have to compromise on some of the technical qualities of each discipline to sort of fill gaps where, you know, you can't be so high with your boxing guard in an MMA sense because you're going to be more susceptible to takedowns, right? And so you sort of have to concede in some areas of technical training for each sport to sort of mesh it on together. James Court says, Lynch back on Fightful. Good shit. Yes, it's always great to have you here, James. Okay, let's move on to the losers of the week. Before we do, quick midpoint reminder, guys. Hit subscribe, tap the notification bell, leave a like on this video. Our UFC Fighters React to Street Beefs is doing really great traffic, so thank you guys all for checking that out. It seems like everyone except the owner of Street Beefs really liked it. Otherwise, actually, I'm going to touch on that real quick.
Yeah, let's do it.
in the event that someone from Street Beefs is watching, first of all, thank you guys for letting me use your footage. That was very thoughtful of you guys. And there will be more videos coming out. Listen, these are pro fighters with no context watching people brawl in a backyard. Some of them, like Drakkar Close and Max Griffin, are going to really like it. Some, like Felicia Spencer and John Fitch, not as much. And I will say, as the quality of the fights improved throughout the videos, they were more and more open-minded to it. You know, it's the trade-off of doing what you guys do. I'm a fan. Drakkar Close is down to compete in Street Beefs, actually, he says, so...
No, yeah, and it's, you know, I want to bring this up as well, because I get, like, you know, I do the fighter predictions as well, and I see a lot of people saying, like, oh, these people don't know what they're talking about. It's just an opinion. It's the same thing with what you're doing. With reaction videos, it's an opinion to something. Like, no one's going out there and saying that something's good or bad or whatever. You just have to take it as this is their opinion on the thing, and you can't take it personally. Like, it's funny, we're in an industry where people punch each other in the face, but there's some really sensitive people out there. It's nuts.
Yeah, and that's the reality of it, too. It's like, you know, people are like, oh, if you knew the backstory of Street Beast, which I'm familiar with, and I think there are pros and cons to it. I like the concept of giving, you know, potentially violent gang members a relatively safe space to sort of deal with their beefs, which is, you know, sort of the foundation of how Street Beef started. Great thing. Fact that you're not paying the guys, not a great thing, right? So there's going to be pros and cons. And, you know, people are like, oh, they don't know anything about Street Beefs, yada, yada. I'm like, yeah, these fighters. This is the thing, I think, with the predictions, too, these fans should understand. It's like, you're not telling these fighters ahead of time, hey, I need you to think long and hard about each of these 12 fights I'm about to ask you. You just pose the question. They give a snapshot answer. It's meant to be in good fun.
Exactly. And that's the thing I like to point out. And then when I say, you know, people are like, oh, I can't believe these experts got it. No one's calling them experts. Like, look, fighters train. They've got families. They've got other things going on. They're not in the basement studying tape all the time on every single fight. Like, believe it or not, like, they don't have time to do that. Right. And there's people who do, and all the credit to them. But it's just an opinion. People got to relax a little bit.
Yes. So. But anyways, thank you to Street Beast for letting us use the content. The video has been great. The feedback for the most part has been really great. So there's more of those coming out. And a whole bunch of other tier list reaction content, so stay tuned. Okay, I keep shilling. That's not what people are here for. Losers, and let me preface this first and foremost by saying I am not calling the victims losers by any means. I'm not even going to call the alleged perpetrator a loser, because I don't know what's going on with their mental health. But the news did come out yesterday, on Thursday, unfortunately, that Irwin Rivera, UFC fighter, was arrested and charged on two counts of premeditated murder after allegedly stabbing two of his sisters. One is, from my understanding, in critical condition. The other is okay. Both covered with stab wounds, head to toe. Wow, this was insane. A few hours ago, one of his sisters, I'll get the name in a moment because I'm not sure on the pronunciation. Leslie, I think it's L-E-Z-L-Y-E, apologies, I'm mispronouncing that, put out a very thoughtful statement being like, guys, our brother's not well right now. He wasn't training, which is unusual. We went to check on him. Unfortunately, he was too far gone. Man, first and foremost, I got to give props to this woman for having enough love in her soul to sort of stand by her brother and say, look, something is deeply wrong, and please support him. We want him to get better, because that's a traumatic situation all the way around. What's your sort of take on what happened with Irwin and his family?
Shocking, obviously. I haven't covered a ton of Irwin Rivera. I mean, I've watched his fights. I even watched some of his fights in Titan FC, so I know a little bit about him. I've actually never interviewed him before, but everything that I've seen from teammates of his, that, you know, Andre Sukumta had a sort of a sad post yesterday, you know, just talking about how, like, this is not the guy I know. And you just, the thing that really stands out to me, and obviously I'm not a doctor or expert in this field whatsoever, this is just my opinion, but that quote, you know, really stood out to me, where he says, a higher power told me to do this. And, you know, what it reminded me of was, do you remember in, I think it was Alberta, years ago, there was that guy at the party who had the samurai sword. I think it was a sword or a knife or something, and stabbed someone at the party using that exact same word. And so what we know, you know, from that case was that was, you know, obviously mental health issues and someone just going far gone and a little bit psychotic. And that's immediately what I thought of. And it's just, it's, you know, I could be a combination of things, mental health. It could be, you know, a CTE was another thing that was sort of thrown around. Yeah. But I've seen a lot of unfortunate comments, because I actually went and looked at his Instagram, and I was just curious to see, you know, if this type of, was there any sort of, you know, behavior that was a little bit out of whack a little bit. And he had I think the last thing on his Instagram was a video 5 days ago talking about some of the books he was reading as a kid, and he seemed completely normal. So it just goes to show that, you know, the human mind's a very weird thing, a very complex thing. I mean, I think if you're anyone that's going on his Instagram or social media, or you're attacking their teammates, just don't. I mean, no one understands the situation. I'm not being sympathetic towards him. I don't know enough about the situation, but you know, it's very complex. There's no one answer there, but I think the biggest thing is you hope that, you know, the family's healing at this point, because it's a very tragic thing that's happened. You know, whether, you know, like you said, it sounds like both of them have survived, which is, you know, great news. And that's sort of what we're hearing, but yeah, just really sad. And I, you know, you do wonder with CTE, because, you know, we've seen this in the NFL. They did a whole movie on it where, you know, former players and, you know, other sports as well, hockey, we're hearing issues of, you know, fighters that have retired and not being themselves. So you just hope they, if we can learn anything from this, if you want to take a glass half full sort of approach from this, I think it's just another reminder that people get hit in the head for a living, and, you know, there are consequences from that.
Yes, potentially. I'm not going to get into this subject, but it does give me some reminders of the Chris Benoit situation.
Yeah,
to tie it back to pro wrestling. Yeah, I think that's probably a good place to leave it on, considering we've kind of got limited information right now. But most important thing, like you said, it looks like the sisters are going to survive, and it's good to see that that family bond is still intact. Okay, let's move on to someone I'm looking forward to clowning a little bit, and that is former UFC champion and city councilman of Huntington Beach, Tito Ortiz, who has been nothing but pure entertainment, possibly the best of his career ever since taking a shot at politics. He got booted from a city council meeting because he refused to wear his mask. And, you know, he goes into his vehicle afterwards, he's shooting a video, and he kind of just looked and sounded like a kid who got put in timeout. Have you been enjoying this latest chapter of Tito Ortiz's life as much as I have?
So I have a different approach on this, Shaq, and it's probably good that we're disagreeing on something here a little bit. I think it's kind of tragic to see what Tito Ortiz has become, because, you know, I think the first time the UFC ever got in my radar was a Tito Ortiz, you know, just hearing his name. He was sort of back in the day when I heard about the UFC, he was sort of one of the big names back then. I remember he did that episode of Friends. Do you remember that years ago? And it's just, it's kind of a bummer to see what Tito has become at this point, because for all the newer fans now, he's this punchline, and, you know, it's self-inflicted in terms of some of the stuff he said, the anti-mask stuff, the Trump stuff. There's a lot of different stuff. Again, you know, not going to get into politics here, but to me, it's, I honestly don't laugh at it, because I think it's just really upsetting to see what Tito's become, because, you know, everyone knows him now as this punchline, as opposed to, you know, a guy that really did help the UFC in the early days. I mean, those rivalries with Ken Shamrock and Chuck Liddell, I mean, were some of the best, you know, rivalries back when the UFC was getting its feet off the ground, so to speak, from the dark ages. So, you know, I don't really partake in a lot of that. I think it's sad more than anything. I think he's, you know, getting the wrong information, being surrounded by the wrong people. I interviewed him last year on the red carpet at the MMA Awards. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. Yeah. I'm being a little bit too Canadian on this and polite, but I just think it's a little bit sad to see what Tito's become, because I think, like I said, when you look back on his career, people are going to look at the, you know, Twitter accounts that are clipping out all the stuff that he says on social media, as opposed to, you know, him winning a title or him, you know, really becoming one of the first trash talkers in the UFC that could hype up a fight and all that. So that's my approach on it. When I see it, I kind of am just,
without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Just like, you know, I shake my head and I think, you know, what could have been, you know, you can look at a guy like Forrest Griffin, who's, you know, his UFC career has been now, you know, working with the athletes and doing something really positive. And with Tito, it's just been, you know, a lot of negativity, which is unfortunate.
James Lynch, party pooper.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. No, I know. I know. Listen, I get it. There's a lot of people who I know get a lot of entertainment out of Tito, but just, you know, knowing from the small interactions I've had with him, I think it's yes, kind of a bummer. That's kind of how
I've definitely, I've interviewed, Tito Ortiz once prior to the Alberto El Patron
Del Real fight. Yeah.
And he was a very good interview, very generous with his time. But you know, it's you become a public figure. This is kind of.
And you do wonder, Shaq, I mean, we just talked about CTE. There's got to be some in there with Tito as well, because you just hear the way he talks sometimes. There's not a lot of, I mean, there's some stuff that just doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah. So, again, look, if you guys want to laugh at him, go for it. But for me, it's just like, I don't know. It's kind of a bummer.
I do hope that his brain health is okay, of course. Don't ever wish that on anyone. Okay, sort of a hybrid. Oh, actually, no. We'll save this one up for the end, because it's a bit of a hybrid winner-loser situation. But the next one I want to touch on is Junior Dos Santos, who has been on quite a campaign petitioning his recent loss to... Do you know how to pronounce the guy's last name? Cyril Gane?
It's Cyril Gane.
Gane, G-A-I-N.
That's
perfect.
How you pronounce it.
Thank you for the John Anik interpretation right there.
No worries.
Anywho, he lost a fight via second-round KO, TKO, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it was pretty apparent to just about everyone not named Junior Dos Santos and company that it was a clean loss. He claims elbows to the back of the head, should be overturned to some sort of disqualification or no contest. And listen, I am totally, I get Junior Dos Santos' position, not on a great run right now, still has aspirations. It hurts to lose. It hurts to get physically harmed. It hurts to have it done so on a national stage. And if he feels wronged, he feels wronged. But here's where I'm kind of gonna draw the line, and you can call me a SJW, soy boy, whatever you want. I got a headline over at Fightful MMA, and it reads, Junior Dos Santos bizarrely compares Cyril Gane loss to rape.
Ooh.
There are some lines that I don't think...
Yeah, you can't do that. Not in this day and age.
No,
yeah,
and it's funny, because he even knew he shouldn't do it before he did it, but he said, quote, in terms of comparison... which is not even supposed to be used, it is like the victim being guilty of crime, theft, murder, rape. That quote especially does not age well with the Urban Rivera news, but, like, come on, JDS. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, Junior's might be one of the nicest guys in the sport. It's unfortunate. He must not have really good people around him right now, because... Not just because of that statement, but dude, why are you going on about this? Like, everyone is, I mean, I think 90% of people that watched that fight thought it was clean. It was fine. I think it has more to do with the fact that he's lost four in a row and his career is probably coming to an end at this point. And I think that's more of what this comes to. And then, yeah, he gives a really bad, analogy. I think in general, if you're going to give interviews, stay away from politics and domestic violence and any like taboo topics. I think that's just, you're in the clear if you don't compare anything to any of those things, and you'll be fine. And look, I get his frustration. I mean, this is a former UFC champion who I'm sure in his head still feels like he can compete at a high level, but he just can't at this point. And I think this is also where the UFC's got to step in and say, look, we'll hook you up with some sort of job. You've done a lot for us. You gave us a lot of good fights, but it's the end of the road here. If you can't beat a prospect, that's your sign that you're on your way out. And I think at his age, even though he's not super old, he's, 36, which same age as me, exactly, not very old, but you get in general, like, I just think he's got to take a step back and just let this thing go and just, yeah, leave it as it is.
James Lynch, you climbed all the stairs of CN Tower in one go. You are not old, my man.
No, I know. You're 17 minutes and 47 seconds I did it in too.
Wonderful.
That was years ago, though. By the way, that was one of the toughest things I've ever done. I know that was in the three facts I gave you. My wife and I did it. This was before we were married. Oh. And we still managed to stay married after doing that, because it was tough. Literally, bottom of the stairs at CN Tower, all the way up. I'll give you a quick story on this. I was like, I can probably jog this thing. It's not a big deal. When I got to whatever floor it was, I think it was like floor 26. I was like, I can't keep this pace up. The elevation is just like anything I've never experienced. It's something I've never experienced before. And like the grouse grind, which I'm sure you've done, is like a piece of cake compared to this.
Yeah,
it was tough.
The grouse grind, for those who aren't in Vancouver, I assume none of you are. It was just a steep climb up a mountain. I will say one time, and this was totally my bad, but me and my friend were on our way up, and we didn't... It was one of my first times doing it, maybe my second time ever, first time without, like, my dad. And I didn't quite realize how long of a trek it was going to be, and I wasn't going to make it to the top before my work shift started. So I had to be that guy that walked back down the grouse grind entire time. You think Canadians are nice? Just wait. Just wait until you try going back down the grouse grind. People were absolutely vicious.
Yeah, no, that's, and there's not a lot of space on there either.
No.
So yeah, I don't envy that being in that position.
Yes. Okay. We're going to get some comments about JDS. Waleed Reed chimes in, says JDS should fight Olenek. He's a guy who's ranked in the top 15 in his age and doesn't have the biggest knockout power. I'm all for old man fights. If you're going to keep fighting and it's clear that your sort of title contention days are over, just lump the old people together.
Well, Olenek's fighting, I just remembered, he is fighting, who's he fighting? He's fighting Chris Daukaus coming up here. So the same sort of matchmaking, right? Like Daukaus is a prospect, so they're giving Olenek him. I don't even think that makes sense. Like even if Olenek, let's say that fight fell out and JDS did step in, then what do you do with JDS? You're going to have to give him another prospect, right? And I think a lot of these guys right now are just too fast for him. And you just, the concern with me is it's one thing to lose a fight, but to get knocked out, he's been knocked out in all of those losses. That's where we're starting to get into Chuck Liddell territory, and you don't want to see that.
Yeah, I think once you are sort of suffering KO loss after KO loss, there's definitely a health question. I do think in regards to the matchmaking, there is a line somewhere where it's like you as a legend are so compromised that a prospect isn't going to generate enough buzz or momentum off beating you. I think that's the point where I like old man matchups where the juice isn't worth the squeeze in terms of building names off that person. So just sort of combine the name power, you know, the kind of Matt Brown, Carlos Condit territory. I don't think at this point.
Here's a better example. And sorry to interrupt you. Like let's say Overeem loses his next fight to Volkov. If you want to give Overeem a vet after this, I'm cool with that. Cause that's just, you know, he's trying to get, like, he's in a better spot at this point. He's not coming off a bunch of losses, but a guy who's lost four in a row should not be fighting. I mean, if it wasn't Junior Dos Santos, he'd be out of here right now, right? He'd be released.
All right. And then we can talk about this one too. Joseph Boza says, is it crazy that Dana White is pushing for Edwards and Chimaev to happen when Chimaev got Thank you, Joseph. He says, when Chimaev got it. Appreciate the discretion. You know how YouTube loves to suppress content. Edwards volunteered to stay on UFC Fight Island 8, fight either Neil Magny or Michael Chiesa. UFC said no. Going to elevate Chiesa versus Magny to the main event, and we're going to rebook Edwards versus Chimaev. What is it about this fight that the UFC is so intent on happening?
Want Khamzat Chimaev to fight for a title? It's so obvious to me. I don't know how a lot of people don't see this, not throwing any shade your way, but it's blatantly obvious here. A lot of what people don't realize, I don't think, is that it's not about Leon Edwards, it's about the ranking. Mm-hmm. If he goes and beats the number three guy, that's an easy sell for a title shot, right? And conversely for Leon Edwards, this is exactly the type of fight he needs. What better to get your name back in the forefront of, you know, being a good welterweight fighter than fighting the hottest guy in the division right now, or hottest guy in MMA right now? Chimaev was the talk of the town last year. Like, everyone was talking about this guy. I can tell you, because any piece of content I did even closely resembling Khamzat Chimaev did very well. There's a lot of interest in this guy. There's a lot of intrigue. There's people convinced that Chimaev's going to starch Leon Edwards in the first round. I'm not one of those people, but that's what makes the fight so interesting. You've got a guy who has three wins over three unranked opponents fighting a number three guy in the division. This just doesn't happen every day. I'm fine with the rebooking. I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think, you know, for Chimaev, if he wins, I know they're going to give him the title shot. I think he's going to jump the line. I think that's what's going to happen. And if Edwards wins, you hope he gets a title shot, because he doesn't really have a lot of upside for fighting an unranked guy like this. But at the same time, like, I think just with the way the pieces are moving in the division, with Wonderboy being out, with a lot of these other fighters booked up, I think that makes more sense than having Leon fight Michael Chiesa or Neil Magny. Chiesa Magny is a great fight. Rankings wise, it makes sense. Is it a main event for a fight night? I'm fine with that. I mean, I think people got to look. We're getting three cards in the span of a week, right, with that. So it's all good by me.
Yeah, I think... as someone who doesn't have the sort of technical insight into the fight game to draw predictions off of, the actual components of the fight, I look a lot to experience, time off, history of injury, stuff like that. And so obviously Leon Edwards should be your favorite going into this, if that is the criteria under which you're operating. But I will say, with every passing day in my brain, the line moves ever so slightly closer to Chimaev, because it seems now, by the time Leon Edwards gets back into the cage, it's going to be almost 2 years. And between the layoff and just how much shit Leon Edwards has taken from fans, from the UFC, it's clear it's weighing on him. He's made some poor decisions in terms of accepting fights. Like, turning down the Wonderboy fight, I thought was a big mistake on his part. It was a fight that made a whole lot of sense to me in terms of rankings, name value, and upside. I can't help but wonder where Leon Edwards' mindset is going to be going into that fight, because Chimaev is obviously on cloud nine, and Leon has a lot weighing on his mind right now.
Yeah, see, I think, yeah, Wonderboy could have been the only fight I think you could make in terms of rankings, in terms of name value. But I think Chimaev's got more hype right now. Yes. Like, if you beat this hype guy, that's like, I think if he had beat Wonderboy, I think they would probably still keep him away from a title shot. But with Chimaev, because he's got so much hype, they're calling him the next Khabib. That sort of gets you back in that conversation. It's all about hype. It's like Masvidal, right? Like, he, you know, the year before, he beats Till, Askren, and then he beats Nate Diaz. Like, a win over Nate Diaz should not get you a title shot, but because it was such a big fight, because it was promoted well, nobody had a problem with him fighting Kamaru Usman, right? So yeah. That's, I think it's the same sort of logic here with Edwards. And we got to be fair to Leon a little bit here. I mean, he was supposed to fight Woodley. He was canceled because of COVID or couldn't get over to the US. Supposed to fight Usman and for the title when Burns was out. Couldn't get over there because of COVID as well. So a lot of it is just him being in the UK and they're really being strict with COVID as well. So I give him a little bit of a pass there. But yeah, if you wanted to make one critique, maybe the Wonderboy fight would have worked out a little bit better. But it's tough to say.
Yeah, yeah. When one door closes, another opens. As we begin to sort of wind down on the show here, I have one last winner-loser hybrid. But I'm wondering if there's anyone you want to get to not named Mike Perry.
I'm trying to think of other things that happen. I feel like... Yeah, I'm coming up with a blank here.
That's okay.
as far as other stuff going on.
I've been
you asked me at the last minute. Oh, actually, I'll mention one thing that's kind of interesting. So, if you guys don't know, I have a show every week with Chris Cyborg and on her channel called The Catch Up. And Chris expressed interest in potentially fighting Kayla Harrison at 155. You know, the beauty with Bellator is that they're a lot more flexible when it comes to making fights. And I don't know if Kayla and Chris would ever fight in Bellator. Maybe Bellator would let Chris out of her. I don't know. It seems like there's more flexibility than, say, if Cyborg was in the UFC right now. So the potential of a Cyborg Kayla Harrison fight is very interesting, just because I know Cyborg's got way more experience and obviously she's, you know, proven herself as a champion. But there is that intrigue with a young, hungry fighter like Kayla Harrison, who has such a elite skill set with her judo and now with her striking. We've seen that, you know, in the fight with Courtney King. So if that could come to fruition, that's another big fight that could potentially happen outside the UFC.
Okay, last one. Hybrid winner loser of the week. I'm gonna give a shout out to Mike Perry. I'll start with the loss first, because even I'm not a big enough jerk to deprive him of this win. First of all, what on earth happened to Mike Perry? We see earlier this week he's drinking on a boat with Latoya Gonzalez. Next thing you know, he's laying down on a hotel floor somewhere, broken glass, his leg has a bad gash on it, blood everywhere. It's just sort of becoming, it hurts when you start becoming apathetic as opposed to empathetic, right? When it becomes such a pattern, they're like, oh, there goes Mike again. And someone mentioned, I can't remember if it was here on the chat. I was here on the chat. And I don't really want to compare the two situations too much. But, you know, in light of the Irwin Rivera situation, this person says, like, hopefully this is some sort of wake-up call for Mike Perry to get himself in check. Like, as for you as an observer, like, how do you feel when you see Mike Perry laying on the floor there with a whole bunch of blood?
It's nothing but tragic. I mean, look, Mike Perry said a lot of dumb things. I'm not going to talk about Mike Perry the person and what you think about some of his language, so to speak, right? Like, I mean, he said a lot of dumb things. We don't even need to get into that. But I mean, here's a guy that's just self-destructing right in front of our eyes. I mean, it's not even just this thing where he hurt, you know, the cut on his leg. You know, the incident at the bar where he's getting into the fight with the old guy, like, you just can't do stuff like that as a professional athlete. You can't do that, period. I mean, as a grown adult, and this guy's going to be a father, like, I mean, you got to get your shit together. I mean, as a fellow dad, like, it does come with a certain responsibility. Now, it's not just about you. It's about who you're going to be raising in the future. And I think he, you know, we talked about this earlier with, you know, with JDS and you know, I think you got to get better people around you. Like, you know, I'm not going to tell people how to do their job, but at the same time, like, I would take his phone away. I would get him some help. He's not in a state right now to be, I think, fighting or doing anything. And I think, and I wonder if the UFC should say something and say, look, like, we're going to keep this guy. We're going to make sure he doesn't get a fight next until he gets things in order, because you can't be doing stuff like that. Like, he's, you know, I don't know what caused the broken leg. I mean, there was a broken window, right? Maybe did he jump through? Did he kick it? Either way, this guy's got to stop drinking. He needs help. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Mike Perry needs a lot of help right now.
Yeah, and this is what's confusing about the situation, because after the incident where he knocked out the old man outside the restaurant, I think the UFC put out sent out a statement to reporters saying, hey, we're going to get this guy some anger management or something. And I don't know if that even materialized, because next thing you know, he's got like another fight booked a week after. Dana White clearly seems interested in keeping, you know, anytime the allegations from his ex are brought up, or racist language he's used, or people he's hurt himself or otherwise outside of the cage, you just kind of see Dana White dismiss it, because I guess he likes Mike Perry as a UFC commodity, but isn't there a point at which you'd be like, it's probably in everyone's best interest to make sure this guy, and maybe they are doing it behind the scenes, I can't speak to that, but if they're not, shouldn't they really make it a hard effort to get this guy the help he needs? Because at this point, at this rate, it's going to be out of the UFC's hands whether Mike Perry fights or not, because he's going down a road possibly of no return.
I don't want to use a really, you know, severe example here, but this does kind of look a little bit like, you know, War Machine years ago. And I mean, it wasn't substance abuse with him. I mean, he had a lot of issues with steroids and all this stuff where you could just see he wasn't in the right frame of mind. You do wonder if Perry's heading in that same direction. And if you're the UFC, I mean, what are you getting with Mike Perry at this point? He was bragging about eating cheeseburgers leading into his last fight. He missed weight. He didn't even fight that well. Like, what are you getting with Mike Perry? Is it really worth this much of a headache to deal with it? I mean, I think if it was any other fighter, if this was a prelim fighter, they'd be out of here so quickly, you know, they wouldn't even think twice about it. But the fact that he's still on the roster and they're not, you know, pointing this out, like, think about it. If this happened in the NFL or something, if there's a player who, you know, posted a video like this, it would be all over ESPN. Everyone would be talking about it. And the NFL would suspend them immediately and be like, you can't act like this as a representative of our sport. But with the UFC, they're always slow to the mark, so to speak. So something's got to change here with Mike Perry. And I think a lot of it is just the people around him got to step in and say, dude, chill out. You gotta get some help.
Yeah. If I were to take an absolute shot in the dark at what's going through the UFC's mind, I'm sure they have some metrics showing that Perry has a big audience amongst a section of MMA fans that I'm not a personal fan of. No. But I do want to end this Mike Perry conversation by congratulating him and Latoya Gonzalez. Welcome a newborn baby boy, Ocean Mike Perry, if I'm not mistaken, is the child's name. So like you said, you know, parenthood is a powerful tool. So hopefully the birth of their boy serves as a, you know, an important fork in the road for Mike Perry.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I agree. Last thing. You are going to be put in the interrogation chair for a moment. I'm going to put the one shot on you, James Lynch.
Sure.
Take a look at the note to James's right. First fun fact, enjoys cold apple pie. I need you to defend this for everyone on the show.
Yeah, I just don't like apple pie warm. I don't know why. I like a lot of things that are cold, and that's not my personality. I think anyone who knows me, I'm a very warm person. But when it comes to certain desserts, when it comes to certain foods, I like stuff cold. You know, apple pie is one of them. I find you can taste the apple better when it's colder. I don't know what it is. I like cold drinks. I like cold coffee. I'm drinking cold coffee, by the way. Shaq, you didn't ask what I was drinking today, but this is cold brew coffee from a Ninja coffee machine, which I bought. Best investment I've made probably in years, that I, you know, grind up the ice, put the coffee in, make it. I've got like a huge pot that I drink over the course of a couple of days, and then I make another one. I like a lot of stuff cold. Maybe it's because we're up here in Canada, which, by the way, I got to point out to people, because people think that everywhere in Canada it's snowing and we're, you know, having dogs slay us around. I haven't got, I think we had snow for like maybe 5 minutes here, maybe back in December where I am in Tawson. But in general, like, it doesn't snow here that much. So, but yeah, when it comes to desserts, I like them cold, to the point of where I'll just give you my strategy, Shaq. Like, if we have dinner, if I'm at my grandparents' house, I will request, if I know we're having any type of pie, I will ask to take a slice of that pie, put it in the freezer while everyone else heats up their pie, and I will have freezer done pie. That's how much I enjoy it.
James Lynch, prima donna. You're going to be the type of guy who asks the help to separate the M&Ms by color.
No, I don't do that, but I like stuff cold. That's just my family knows that. My friends know that. It's just how I roll.
Will you concede for a hot, warm apple pie with a cold topping of ice cream?
Yeah, I could potentially do that, but I just like pie on its own. I don't even need to have it with ice cream. To me, they're two separate things. I would rather have the ice cream on its own and then the pie on its own. But I will say this, if we're going to McDonald's, we're going to have apple pie there. I don't mind if it's a little bit warm. That's fine, because that's a little bit different. I think McDonald's apple pie cold probably doesn't taste as good as homemade apple
pie. I was going to ask you. That stuff's underrated. In fact, Black Sheep says in the comments, put a hot McDonald's apple pie into their ice cream in a cup. Thank me later. So,
yeah, okay. So, good something call. To consider. Good call. There's where I can, you know, find a common ground for sure.
Okay. As we wrap up here, guys, one last reminder. Like, subscribe, tap the notification bell. If we did a good job today, leave a little super chat donation to make myself and upper management happy. Now, if you want to be a winner, like Max Holloway, like Paige VanZant, you can go pick up yourself some James Lynch merch. James,
That's right.
Tell people about the clothes. Tell people about the gazillion podcasts that you do.
Yeah, it is. And I actually just added another one this week. That'll be getting announced in the coming weeks. Well, first off, thanks for having me on. By the way, I wanted to take this quick opportunity to congratulate Sean. I know he just re-upped with Fightful for a couple more years. And I saw the Wrestling Channel, and you mentioned the MMA channel, but I know the Wrestling Channel, they've just been killing it. I know they put the Clips channel out now that hit 1,000 views. So just congratulations to all the hard work you guys are doing. Like, I'm not even a big pro wrestling fan, but I do check out a lot of the content because it's cool. You know, it's quick and easy. And I just wanted to give a shout out to everyone at the site, because I do really enjoyed working there when I was there. Jeremy Lambert, by the way, killing it. Love Jeremy, great guy. As far as me, at Lynch on Sports, Twitter, Instagram, my YouTube channel, same thing, youtube.com/LynchOnSports. And on that channel, Jack, you will find a link to my Teespring store where you can get cool looking shirts like this one, mugs, whatever you need, hats, socks. I've got a bit of everything. It's just an easy way to kind of market myself a little bit. And you can find all my interviews on there too. A lot of people know that I work for like 12 outlets, but I put all my content and playlists on my channel, so it's easy to find. It's all in one spot. And thanks for having me on, man. It was great.
Hey, man. You know how this works. I'll come back crawling again because the show is better when you are on it. Okay, guys, that is all for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. A big shout out to both the lively live chat today, as well as our audio-only downloaders who always keep us afloat, keep us doing what we do. Until next time, time for that terrible, terrible outro. I'm Shaquille Majuri, and stay tuned for everything Fightful and so delightful. Peace out.
Fightful.com. Fightful.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.